What kind of practices are already in place to make sure, well, carers are being safe, doing the right thing when it comes to patients and being in patients' homes?
It's a tricky job, ensuring that home care workers do the right thing, because they're in someone else's home, and as their employer, I couldn't, you know, put a camera on them and make sure and see them. So what we try and do is make sure that we screen carers appropriately when we hire them and train them appropriately. So, you know, this is variable between organisations. The other check in the system is the care coordinator or case manager. So, you know, the other person or other people involved in that person's care, who should also be checking in with family to make sure that, you know, all the care is going as it should be. But really, I think that family carers have a greater burden of responsibility to make sure that the older person, the person with dementia, isn't being taken advantage of or exploited. So, you know, to really keep an eye out for, you know, suspicious behaviour, because we, even with the best of screening and intentions, you know, something might go wrong, like has happened in this case.
What kind of, you mentioned, of course, the training and regulations, the checkups that go into getting a new carer into a family home. I've known people that have been paid as carers for family members of their own. But in terms of, you know, somebody that is coming from completely outside the home, just how extensive is that kind of training and checkup?
To work as a home care provider, you'd need a police check, a working with older person's police check. And then most aged care organisations have their carers requiring a certificate for in home care. So I don't know how much that costs, but certainly, you know, it's a bar to get through. And on top of that, providers are interviewing the staff, so they make sure the person's got, you know, the right character. So personal character really important in, you know, employing a home care worker.
Is there a need for other levels of regulation to come into place to make sure dementia patients are in fact protected?
I would like to see the Quality and Safety Commission, so the regulator, talking to older clients, maybe not the people with dementia if they can't, but certainly their families, and checking up on the quality of care independently of the provider. I think that would, you know, ensure a higher standard of care. I don't know if that will get us around the issue of, you know, if someone overtly wants to open drawers and steal things, whether that will stop that from happening. I think the family has to be careful about that. And it's really tricky from a provider perspective, because people with dementia do sometimes lose things or forget things. And we often hear stories about how the person's gone, oh, the girl who came stole all my jewellery, and then the jewellery's found in the bottom drawer or in the fridge later on. But I think that any missing things should be reported and should be investigated, and the family and the person and the provider will have to work together to investigate that. And providers have to take those missing objects seriously, even though, you know, in at least some proportion of cases, that she just got put away somewhere and got lost.
Your current project, the Dementia Lifestyle Coach, can you tell us a little bit about how this is, well, trying to encourage help for dementia patients to live well?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to talk about that. So at the moment, when you get given a diagnosis of dementia at the memory clinic or by your GP or geriatrician, there's very little post-diagnostic support, so support to live well with dementia. If you got a cancer diagnosis or if you got stroke, you'd expect treatment, rehab, and even if they can't do much for you, some, you know, counselling and support to have a good life. Dementia Lifestyle Coach is really that program. It's coaching people, helping them figure out how to tell their family how to have a good lifestyle with dementia, no matter what that is. So for some people, it's playing golf. Some people, it's going back to work with their church. For some people, it's actually moving house and, you know, finding a new community. It's kind of filling that gap in post-diagnostic support where people with dementia and their families tell us after diagnosis there was nothing, there was just a void, and we're supporting people to have this good life. I think very exciting in this program is that we give each person, each participant, a peer supporter who also lives with dementia. So they meet someone who's like had dementia for more years than them, but actually will say, I'm still having a good life. I still do all these things. And while I might have trouble with my memory and I might need help with certain things, I still think that my quality of life is pretty good.
And just to bring it back to the carers as a final point, obviously at the moment we've seen COVID-19. It's made it very tough for this industry, for the industry of aged care, and it's been very difficult for a lot of carers, some of which obviously were working in multiple different jobs, multiple different homes that they couldn't, well, they can no longer do because they couldn't move around in that same sense. Is there more support, generally speaking, needed for carers who look after some of these patients?
I think that we really need to pay home care workers more. It's a really hard job. It's a very intimate job. At the moment, for example, we often don't pay travel time. So, you know, so people aren't really being paid what they're worth. It's also a casualized workforce. So you might have some, you know, lots of hours one week and then no hours another week. So if we want really good people looking after our elders, then we need to pay them and kind of give them the respect and support and training to do the good job that we expect.
Well, Lufe, I do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Thank you for having me.